talk about some things which Rabbi Breidowitz said. I won't disagree at all. Chazal say everything. We're going to give it a little bit of a framework. We know that in Jewish history before we enter the land of Israel, there were two major sins that took place, and probably a third, which is more important. But the two major sins that we talk about this time of year are really the sins of the Egel Hazav, the golden calf on the one hand, and the sins of the spies on the other hand, or the Meraglim. We look at Shavasa v'Tammuz on the one hand, we look at Tisha B'Av on the other hand, and those are the two sins which come right at us. The Beis Halevi said that the sin of the golden calf is connected to the first destruction. The sin of the Meraglim, of the spies, is connected to the second destruction. Now, as I said, that gives us a little bit of structure, but that's something which I want to try to understand much more. You know, we have four different fast days which the Navi in Zechariah mentions. When the Mishnah talks about them, the Mishnah really focuses on the things which happened on Shavasa B'Tammuz and the things which happened on Tisha B'Av. I'm going to say something which is very counterintuitive. What we call the 3 weeks, or Beinu Metzorim, is not something which is clear from the Mishnah or clear from the Gemara. It's not really there. In terms of Ashkenazic practice, we're machmir from Shavasa B'Tammuz all the way through to Tisha B'Av. But is there really an organic connection between the two? So you can say, of course there's an organic connection. What's the connection? Here we have a breach in the walls, and over here we have the actual Chorban. It could have started by Asar B'Teves. Right? Actually, it's dependent on a machlokas what Asar B'Teves is, or even the fifth of Teves, perhaps. But we see these 3 weeks as being connected. And as I said, that is our reality. That's what we live. And the truth is also that every year, this time of year, when we especially we get to Rosh Chodesh, I have awe, this dread, there's this fear, not just for what happened long ago. It seems to be that bad things happen this time of year. And we all have to be more careful. And that's halacha. We all have to be more careful. And that's part of the reason we don't go traveling or on vacation. It's not just that we're not in the mood for vacation. It's not the time for vacation. But what is the connection between these two different sins? Let's go back a little bit more. And things are going to be so clear that you're just going to say to yourself, why didn't I see this before? What's the first sin that really took place? The first major sin that took place. The first sin was the sin of Adam and Chav. So when I think about that sin, and you can argue, you can nuance it, you can say it slightly differently, because I'm up here, this is how I'm going to say it. I think the key of the sin is based upon what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. It says that Adam Harishon Min Haya. He was an apikoros. He was a heretic. Adam was a heretic. That's what the Gemara says. He's a heretic. If you listen to the pasuk, which the Nachash says, "Ki yodea Elokim ki biyom achelchem mimenu v'nifkechu einechem v'hayisem ke Elohim yodea tov v'ra." That God knows that when you eat from this tree, you will be like a god. Whatever that means, yodei tov v'ra. So first of all, I want to make sure that all of you understand a very obvious point. None of us are one bite away from being gods. It's not a question, I don't care what fruit it was. It doesn't make a difference if it's a bite of an apple or an esrog, or a grape, date, wheat, or a pill, or powder, or smoking something. We are not one step away from being God. This is the biggest absurdity One second, do we all realize this? This is just so absurd. Oh, because God knows you'll eat it, you're going to be like God. No, you will not be like God. That's an absolute impossibility. And that's what the Gemara is saying. That's why the Gemara is saying that he was a heretic. So if you understand this, the core of that very first sin, again, you can say he didn't listen to God, he didn't obey God, he ate. No, it's much more than that. It's a total rejection, a lack of understanding of the basic relationship of knowing who we are versus knowing who God is. And there's two sides of that. What are the two sides? Be very careful. One is we don't know what God is. And what's the other side? We don't know who we are. And that is the only thing I'm going to be saying to you today, that we don't know who we are. But I'm going to say it a lot of different ways and a lot of different times. Adam did not know who he was. What was the second sin in history? The second sin, again, this will get very easy. The second sin in history was Shvichas Damim. It was murder. So far we have Avodah Zarah. That's perfect. I really like that. It's a little late. People get tired. We need something to wake them up. In another 7 minutes, we'll need it again. Okay? The first sin is Avodah Zarah, idolatry. The second sin is murder. And we don't even know why. And you can tell me the sin of Shechinim, they're all, we don't know why he killed. It's murder. What was the third sin in history? Billy Ryan. See, now you're guessing, but... Torah says, "Vayihi achel adam l'rova pnei adamo v'nos yudulem v'yiru bnei Elohim is b'nos adam ki tavos heina." The sons of the powerful, I think that's the way we'll translate it, sees the daughters of men, see that they're very fine. V'yichu lahem nashim mikol asher bacharu. They took from women whoever they chose. What do you mean they took them? Does that mean they took them to the movies? They took them out for dinner? What does it mean they took them? By the way, the word, you'll pay attention to the word which is used right afterwards. The word used in the beginning of the next parsha is "Vatishoches aretz l'fnei Elokim vatimalei haaretz chamas." Right, chamas. So, what does chamas mean? The Ibn Ezra says, "Begezel va'oshek v'kachas gam hanashim bechazaka," that they stole. But what was it that they stole? They stole the women. You had a total moral breakdown. The powerful taking the weak, the powerful men taking the weak women. So what we have is our first three sins in history. Idolatry, murder, and sexual sins. I can assure you of one thing. That's not why God created the world. God did not create the world for us to reject God, for us to kill one another who are in the image of God. And God didn't create us to live lives like animals. God created us for an entirely different purpose. And that's why the light that comes into the world is the light of Avraham Avinu. Avram comes and he teaches the world something which is so incredible. He teaches the world chesed. He teaches the world kindness. He teaches the world that there's an infinite God, and by definition, if God is infinite, then I can't change God, and God doesn't need anything, and there's nothing I can do for God. Which means if there's an infinite God that God creates out of altruism, and any of you from New York, I know you've never heard that word. You know what it means? In New York, again, I grew up there also. In New York, if someone's nice to you, what happens? Somebody on the subway says, "Can I take that bag for you? Can I help you with that?" Come on, any New Yorker, what would you say? You say, "Are you kidding?" Somebody nice to you, you get scared. They're really nice to you, you run away. Avram Avinu understands that God creates the world out of altruism, that God is infinite, that God doesn't need anything. And if God doesn't need anything, so it's very frustrating. What can I do for God if God doesn't need anything? And what's the conclusion? I can try to be like God. I can try to be nice to other people. I could try to make a world which is a world full of chesed. And that's what Avram does. Avram creates the world of chesed. Now, it's very difficult growing up in Avram's house, or as it were, his tent. The Medrash tells us that there are a number of different Avram wannabes, counterfeits, the biggest counterfeit of Avram, and you can take your choice now if you want Lot or if you want Yishmael, but it both comes down to the same thing. The counterfeit, according to Chazal, of chesed, of kindness, of goodness, of giving, the counterfeit is corrupt sexuality. The Midrash tells us that Yishmael, Avram's son and protege, would use chesed as a pickup line. It says that he would entrap married and single women, and he would use chesed as a pickup line. Now, didn't my father teach that you should be balos chesed, that you should be giving? And if it was all self-serving. Chesed is very difficult. And by the way, it's difficult for us today as well. And any of you who are not balos chesed, don't listen to what I'm about to say. But sometimes it's difficult to know where exactly you draw the line. Sometimes you have to ask a shayla. Sometimes you have to ask, is this a proper way to give? Is this a proper way to help? Chesed needs there to be limitations as well. Which means that once there's an Avram Avinu who's Midas HaChesed, there needs to be a Yitzchak who's Midas HaDin. In Hegelian terms, you would speak about a thesis and an antithesis. So what we have is Avram's chesed, the corruption of chesed, and then you have Yitzchak coming into the world, but Yitzchak is Midas HaDin. What's Yitzchak's din? What's real din? Ezehu Gibor, HaKovish is Yitzro. The din of Yitzchak is somebody, self-control. Who is the counterfeit of Yitzchak? It's Esav. Who's also a Gibor, but his Gvura is in order to force his power on others. And he's a man of the sword. He's somebody whose gvura he takes lives. The counterfeit of chesed is gili arayos, sexual sins. The counterfeit of gvura is shfichas damim, is murder. Yaakov Avinu comes into the world and Yaakov creates a synthesis between the chesed of Avraham and the gvura of Yitzchak, his father. And Yitzchak there, and Yaakov therefore becomes Tiferes. He becomes, it's not even a merger of the two, it's taking the best of both and creating a balance between them. The counterfeit of Tiferes, where you can gather everything together and everything has holiness and everything has beauty, the counterfeit of that is Avodah Zarah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Everything is beautiful. Everything is holy. Everything has something good to it. So we now understand how the world begins with the most abhorrent sins imaginable. Again, the sins of idolatry, the sins of murder, the sins of a sexual revolution. And by the way, if you're wondering, after all that, what do we get to? We then get to the building the tower, we get to idolatry all over again. You can climb up, be like God, wage war on God. And that's where Avram emerges, out of that tower. That's where Avram begins, with a whole new world, a whole new possibility. And by the way, it all works out wonderfully until something unfortunate happens. And that's something which, according to Chazal, which Rashi quotes, Yaakov never anticipated. Bikesh Yaakov l'sheves b'shalva. Yaakov wanted to live in tranquility. V'koftzu alav rogzo shel Yosef. He thought everything was covered, which means spiritually, we have the power against Yishmael. Spiritually, we have the power against Esav. But he never expected that the illness would be an illness which comes from within side. He didn't expect it to be within his own family. I mean, I don't know if you realize that one of the most frightening verses in the Chumash is when Esav goes and marries a daughter or two of Yishmael. It's the merger of two different, what you would call klipos, coming together, counterfeits coming together. And this is what Yaakov fights, can fight against. And that's what Yaakov could be successful against. We can defeat Yishmael. We can defeat Esav. This is exactly what Rav Breidowitz said before. But what can't we defeat? We can't defeat when the poison is within us. The rogzo shel Yosef, the sinas chinam that comes out from Yosef. And that is where the sinas chinam is. And let me define sinas chinam. It's not a good definition, but it's a functional definition. It's not technical definition, the other way around. It's not a technical definition, but it's a very good definition. When we read through all the parashios of Yosef, have any of you ever wondered, again, the most simple question, Stuart, can you get me water, please? The most simple question. They come to Egypt, there's a guy there who knows an awful lot about that family, he cares even more about the family, he lines them up in order, he keeps asking about their father. Why don't they figure it out that this is Yosef? You know, every year when I read it, I know it's Yosef. They can't remember. Why do they never figure it out that this is Yosef? By the way, according to the Medrash, when he finally says that Yosef is alive, they start looking around the room. Where is he? And they look just like Yaakov even more so. Why do they never figure it out? Because you know what Sinas Chinam is? Sinas Chinam is not recognizing somebody else's capabilities because you don't like them. They never imagined for a second that Yosef had such greatness. And by the way, do you realize the tragedy? Every other person who Yosef ever meets sees it immediately. You know what? Even if you hated Yosef and you were pragmatic, you'd want him on your side. I mean, think about it. Is Yosef, if not the, is he one of the most impressive characters in all of Chumash, in all of Tanakh? That in every situation he rises to the top? Again, everybody sees it. Potiphar sees it. In prison, they see it. Paro sees it. Who's the only one who doesn't see Yosef's greatness? His brothers. His family, they're the only ones who don't see it. So they could be staring at him, the greatest man of the generation, and maybe many generations, he's their own kid brother. Okay, how many of you look down on your kid brothers, or sisters, or family, or people, that you just can't really be that great? That's Sinas Chinam. I know you'll tell me, no, Sinas Chinam is like throwing into a pit. Yes, it's not a nice thing to do to your brother. Sinas Chinam is selling him as a slave. Correct, it's not a nice thing to do to your brother. But the real Sinas Chinam is that they stare at him and have no idea that it's him. And why do they not have the idea that it's him? Because it's impossible that it's him. Because Yosef's a loser. Yosef's a tattletale. Yosef is somebody of no value whatsoever. Yosef is somebody that all they want to do is get rid of him. And you know what? If they offered less than 20, they would have taken less than 20. That's Sinas Chinam. How many people do we walk around in our lives because that we do not like them enough, because we don't recognize the greatness within them, because we don't see their tzelem elokim, that we don't appreciate them? And I can tell you the answer to that question. It's 99.9% of the people that we interact with, we do not appreciate. And I understand that we can't, because emotionally how difficult it's going to be if we start appreciating everybody. How we're going to feel about ourselves, we start appreciating everybody. But that's it. That's where it begins. So we have over here a beautiful model. The three basic sins, the three avos coming to fight against those sins, and out of nowhere coming, this other poison, spiritual poison, which is not necessarily as dramatic as murder, maybe not as exciting as idolatry, and there's not as much lust as a sexual sin, but we sure seem to get a lot of enjoyment out of it based on how much we do it. When the Jews get to Har Sinai, we have an opportunity to fix everything. Holiness comes down. The heavens open up. Instead, we do a sin which is so profound. And according to Chazal, and it's all black and white in Rashi, right there on the Pesukim. What sin do they do, or sins do they do? Well, they make an idol. they kill chor and kamu letzachek idolatry, which means instead of manifesting our Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov within us, we manifest instead our inner Yishmael and Esav and the heir of Rav, and all there at the foot of Har Sinai. And you know, you don't ever want to put anthropomorphic terms to God, but I don't know how God wouldn't cry watching this. Forget about destroying Klal Yisrael. Just think about it. We heard Anochi. We saw the sea split. We saw all the plagues. And instead of connecting with the inner Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, what did we do instead? Instead, we end up worshipping a golden calf. And there's one more element to it, which may be the worst element. And that is, we don't know who we are. Why do I say we don't know who we are? Because when they make the calf, and it's very subtle, what do they say? They say, Ela Elohecha Yisrael. If the Jews are talking, what should they say? There's some kind of misunderstanding in terms of who they are, who their identity is. And apparently they connect far more with the heir of Rav than they do with who they're supposed to be. Moshe comes down with the Luchos. And again, let me explain something now, which should be absolute, simple, and pshat. The Navi says the day will come that these holidays will become days, sorry, these fast days will become holidays, days of celebration. The day that Moshe comes down with the Luchos is Shavuos B'Tammuz. Which holiday was it supposed to be? Now stop for 1 second, and you're going to realize the Jews got everything right. What does it say they do? It says, Achlu v'shasu v'komu l'tzachek. They ate and they drank and they made merry. They were right 100%. One mistake. They were dancing around the egel. What were they supposed to be doing? They were supposed to wait for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down and dance around Moshe Rabbeinu. It was supposed to be Simchas Torah. What holiday is it when you come down with the Torah and give the Torah to Klal Yisrael? The holiday is Simchas Torah. That's what it was supposed to be. Which means when the Navi says that one day this would become a holiday again, even Aaron says it, it will be a holiday for God tomorrow, this will become a holiday. Aaron understood this will, and by the way, there Aaron says, he says, Yudke Vavke, he doesn't say anything else. Chag LaHashem Mochar. He knows that the core of this day is Simchas Torah, is the Jews finally accepting and embracing the Torah and eating and drinking and dancing and celebrating with real joy. They got everything right, just one little mistake. They danced around the eagle instead of dancing around Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe it's a big mistake. That was it. What does Moshe do? Moshe has something in his hands which is holy. He has rocks which are holy. These rocks have etched within them the word of God, written with the hand of God. These rocks, according to which version you want, the pshat is he throws it, or perhaps even it gets too heavy and he drops it. The result is what interests me. These rocks, which were full of holiness, are broken on the ground. Which means the Jews could stand at Har Sinai, have a place of holiness, and according to the Ramban, one day Har Sinai morphs into the Mishkan, and the Mishkan morphs into the Beis HaMikdash. This is the same place. There's a beautiful Midrash that says that Sinai, any of you have been baking and taking challah? You should do it every week. It says that Sinai is the challah that God took off of Har HaMoriah, and he brought it and he put it in the desert. That means on an organic level, Sinai and Har HaMoriah are the same place. Which means that just like God speaks to man at Sinai, the place of revelation will be Har HaMoriah and will be the Beis HaMikdash, and Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That's exactly what the Ramban says in multiple places, where the holiness of Sinai comes transformed into the Mishkan, and I'm adding a step, and will one day go back to Yerushalayim. It's the same holiness. But if the Jews are able to defile the holiness of Sinai, and those rocks get broken and fall on the ground on the 17th day of Tammuz. It means that in the future, when we have a Beis HaMikdash with all of the miracles and all of the holiness, we will once again have the ability of doing those same exact sins, the Gilui Arayos and the Shfichas Damim and the Avodah Zarah, and the walls of Yerushalayim, which are holy, will be broken and fall on the floor just like the Luchas. And it all begins right there. But as I said before, there was another sin. What was the other sin? The other sin was the Meraglim. And the Meraglim, the Beis HaLevi says, is connected to the second Chor. I want to pay very careful attention to what the Torah says. I'm reading right now in Parashat Shlach. V'anashim asher alu imo amru lo nuchal lalos. El ha'om ki chazakum imenu. He said, we can't do it. They're too strong. V'yotzer dibas ha'aretz asher Torah osa el b'nei Yisrael lemar ha'aretz asher varnu ba l'Torah osa eretz ocheles yoshvehi. It's a land which swallows its inhabitants. V'chol ha'am asher ra'inu b'socha anshei midos. And all the people we saw were enormous. V'shom ra'inu as ha'nefilim b'nei anak min ha'nefilim. And these people were giants. They were so big, and they were so strong, and they were so frightening. And the Chumash says that what happens afterwards, what's the result of this report, of this message? They all started to cry. And they complained, and they cried. And over here is where the Gemara comes and says, you're crying for nothing? I will give you a reason to cry. By the way, how many of you have ever repeated that? It's so great how the Torah is inside all of us, isn't it? The Pasuk in this week's Parsha in Devarim says, V'tiragnu ba'olechem, v'tomrun, they said, Bisinas Hashem Osanu, Hotzionu Eretz Yisrael, L'Seis L'Nami B'Yad Amaril Hashmidenu. That because God hated us is why He took us out of Egypt to put us in the hands of the Emori to be destroyed. One second, is that interesting? Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha tells us the content of the cry. Back in Bamidbar, what did it say? And they cried that night. And what does the Gemara say? You cried for nothing, I'll give you reason to cry. What does Moshe Rabbeinu explain over here? The content. What is it that they said? They said God hates us. And because God hates us is why He took us out of Egypt to die. So let me tell you a secret. That's not true. I'm going to tell you another secret. God did not do a miracle of biblical proportions, of kibbutz golios, and bring us back to the land of Israel to die either. He brought us back here to live. He brought us back here because He loves us. And we have bumps in the road along the way. But any understanding of history would tell you that we are here because of an unbelievable expression of the love of God. And every single one of us knows that we are living through absolutely miraculous times, which has some difficulties nonetheless. And also every one of us knows we would not trade these miraculous times for any other point. And all of you, especially you who made Aliyah, decided to come here, you came here because you didn't want to watch it on CNN because you can't trust them, and you didn't want to watch it on the BBC because you can't trust them, and you wanted to be here where you don't have to watch anything or listen to anything and just be a part of it over here. Rashi explains this pasuk. Rashi says, "Bisinas Hashem osanu," because God hated us. "V'hu haya ohev eschem," but He loves you. God loves you. "Aval atem sonim oto," but you hate Him. So I'm going to stop and not read the rest of this Rashi. How many times do people get in a relationship where they hate the other one because they think the other one hates them? They don't realize the other one really loves them. This would make a great movie, except it's a tragedy. This would make a good French movie. Then everyone can die at the end.
In France.
Do you see the tragedy? God loves us. He shows us his love. We can't feel it. Why? Because we don't know who we are. We're totally confused. We don't know who we are. Who are we? We're the children of Ahav Yitzchak of Yaakov, of Sarik Arach of Leah. We are holy people. We have such unbelievable capability. But we forgot who we are. We forgot that there is a covenant between God and us. We forgot that God loves us. I mean, how does the Navi describe it? It's a love story. Ko amar Hashem. Zacharti la chesed nurayach. Ahavas, right? Ahava kolosayach. It's a love of young lovers. How you walked after me, you followed me off into the desert. Lech tech achar b'midbar eretz lo zeruah. We were a damsel in distress, and God is the knight in shining armor, and God came down and said, follow me. But we said, but you don't have a job. How are you going to support me? How are you going to make a living? We didn't ask any of those questions. Why? Because it was God, and God loves us, and God took us out. And we forgot that God loves us. How do we forget that God loves us? We forgot who we are. Now, if you go back and listen to the words of the Meraglim, and any of you noticed it, I skipped something back there. What word did I skip? They are so big, and they are so powerful, and they look like giants. And what are the next words said? And in v'nehi be'eineinu kichagovim, and we felt in our eyes as if we were little grasshoppers. V'chein hayinu be'eineihem. And that's how we were in their eyes. Stop. How do we know how we looked in their eyes? How do we know we looked in their eyes? And what's the answer? Because we don't know who we are. We forgot who we are. By the way, later on, in the beginning of Parshas Balak, how do they look at the Jewish people? As little grasshoppers? What do they look at them as? This powerful force which is going through and sweeping through. Which means we think we're so small. You know, there's a joke. I actually copied it a couple of weeks ago in something. Parshas Balak. About this Jew. I think it was first told during the Nazi times that there was this Jew in Germany, and he was reading. He was reading Der Stürmer. So somebody says, why are you reading Der Stürmer? It's full of anti-Semitism. He goes, when I read the Jewish papers, they tell us how weak we are and how bad we are. And when I read this, they say we control the banks and we control this, we control everything. It makes me feel good. Read the anti-Semitic newspapers. They look at us and they think that we're so powerful. By the way, I'm sure if you would ask the average anti-Semite how many Jews there are in the world, they'd probably say 50 million, 100 million, 500 million. And you only ask the Jews how many. The Jews then will give you a lower number. Too many. No. They have this inflated sense of who we are, and we have this deflated sense of who we are. But you know what's unbelievable? The Pasuk isn't unbelievable. Pasuk is pretty good. I mean, kol hakavod. But you know what's unbelievable? The Targum that Onkelos writes here. Onkelos translates grasshoppers into Aramaic. And he says, Vavina be'ene nafshona ki kamtsinon. Kamtsa. Have you heard of kamtsa and bar kamtsa?
Yes.
That's exactly the word for grasshopper. Do you know the problem with the story of kamtsa and bar kamtsa is? Again, you all know it. The guy sends an invitation, he sends it to Fried, it goes to Friedman, or Friedman. You know what the Maharsha says? He says they were father and son. Kamtz and Bar Kamtz were father and son. It went to the son instead of the father. But the son was convinced that his father hates him.
That's one of the only Gemaras we can read that issue.
And his son is convinced that his father hates him, just like Bnei Yisrael with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're convinced. His father wasn't even there. He said, oh, my father must be in on this. You know what the problem with the story is? By the way, we remember Kamtz and Bar Kamtz. We don't know the name of the guy who made the party. We should remember his name. The guy who made the party, what's his problem? His problem is he's not acting like a descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What were the rules in Avraham's tent? You need an invitation? And if you didn't have an invitation, Avraham threw you out? What happened to the chesed of Avraham? We forgot who we are. We became small people. We became like grasshoppers. And that's how we saw ourselves. And that's how we think other people see us. And we think that we're weak. And we think that we're incapable. And they think we can't do anything. And that is absolutely wrong. Because we are great. And we have unbelievable capabilities. And we have a covenant with God. And God loves us. And you put all of those elements together. That is absolutely unbeatable. But we need to remember who we are. We have to stop being confused. The whole story of the golden calf starts with confusion. It says, an erbuvia came into the world. They became confused. Back in the Garden of Eden, they became confused. This tree, that tree. If Adam HaRishon was Jewish, he would have eaten from the tree of life first and then eaten from the tree of knowledge. Okay, now what are you going to do? Okay, we got confused. We became a confused people. We were confused. We forgot who we are. And we started to feel bad about ourselves. When you feel bad about yourselves, you feel bad about the people around you. We look at the guy next to us, we look at the other person, and we don't see their capabilities. If we were to stop and realize who we are as individuals, as a people, and see each and every person's capability, see the Tzelem Elokim, see the incredible gifts that God gave us, with a blink of an eye, we will get to the Messianic Age. May it be speedily in our days. Thank you.